This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
I Will Survive. Gloria Gaynor recorded that in October of 1978, and it went on to be one of the most played songs of 1979 and appears on most top 10 lists for the entire decade of the 70s. Kind of a cool song, isn't it? It's been adopted by a bunch of advocacy groups because of its theme of survival. Women's groups, proponents of those suffering from HIV and AIDS have all adopted it to proclaim, "I will survive." And now it strikes a chord in most people, doesn't it? Because we know what that means. I know it does in me. You know, I've had moments in my life where I've asked the question, am I going to survive? As a young man, when my father walked out on our family, leaving us mostly penniless, I asked the question, are we going to survive? You know, when younger in my ministry in church planting mode, when we were down to our last $10 and we didn't know where the next meal were going to come from for our sons, I remember hitting my knees and looking up to heaven and going, God, are we going to survive? How's this going to work? Several years back, when the doctors told us they would have to put my wife on a treatment program for cancer, I remember walking out of the doctor's office just thinking, are we going to survive this? Many nights I've lay awake in my bed, staring up in the dark at the ceiling, wondering, will I survive? Is this going to make it? Is it all over? Have you ever felt that way? I'll bet you have. I bet most of us have from time to time. And growing up in church, I was often taught that if you were a Christ follower, it'd be easier somehow. But I found that's not the case. Quite to the contrary, very often for a Christ follower, it's harder. Because there's more things to consider, and you're under a direct attack. So it's very often hard. Now, if you're here and you haven't yet decided to follow Jesus, I do have good news for you. I don't want that to sound like a bad advertisement for deciding to follow Jesus, but it's the truth. We've all been hit so many times in so many ways with so much pain that it just feels like we're getting hammered, doesn't it? You know what that is. To have life hit you just so hard, it feels like there's hammer blows falling on you. I bet some of you would feel that way right now, as a matter of fact. Recently, in a time when I felt like I was under the hammer, I asked God, am I going to survive? And more importantly, an honest question, God, how come this is happening? Why? You know, God appreciates honest questions. And he directed me to a scripture that I had read but never seen this way before. It's found in Jeremiah chapter 23. And it says this, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Wow, I read that and said, man, God even says we're going to get hammered. That pain comes and falls like this little mini sledge. You know, God tells us that. Here you go, I'm going to have you hold on to that, sir, so you can go to everybody and tell everybody you went to church and got hammered, okay? Just people sitting around him, be careful if he starts winging around in the air. Now, you hear that from God, that God says, you're going to get hammered by stuff? You go, wow, thanks, God. I mean, that's great and all, but what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do when life comes at me so hard and so fast it feels like there's a hammer dropping on me? How am I going to survive that? And as long as I'm asking God, how come you're letting this happen? Great questions. In the next few moments, I hope to answer some of that for you and point you to a direction. So those of you who feel like you're being hammered by life right now, we'll find that God does have an answer for you. That's my goal. One of the first things I learned through the whole process of studying this was that none of us should be surprised when we feel pain and grief, when we feel like we're all alone, when life just hammers us, because God tells us very plainly that we're going to be hammered. You can check this out later on your own, but John chapter 16, Jesus comes flat out and tells you, you're going to feel pain. You're going to suffer. You're going to get hammered. Just comes flat out and says it. Matthew chapter 5, he says it's not only one type of person that gets hammered either. God says the rain of suffering falls on the just and the unjust. It's not just bad people that get hammered, good people get hammered too. Tall people and short people, young people and old people, everybody gets hammered by life. There is no free ride. Everybody falls victim to trouble, to trial, to tribulation. As a matter of fact, I would venture this guess that everybody here is close to a hammering right now. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're going through a job loss. Maybe you're in fear of something financial. There's a medical issue, problem with the kids, problem with your parents. Your marriage is in shambles. You feel those hammer blows right now, and you're asking the question, am I going to survive this? I've got good news for you. Hang on. There are some others here, though, that have just come out of that kind of a problem. You just escaped maybe by the hair of your chin, and the sweat of the struggle is still on your brow. And you're like, man, I can't believe I made it out of there. If you were to be honest, I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you right now would consider that life is hammering you in some way, or you just got done suffering something? Put your hand up. You pray about it. You want God to see it. Put your hand up high. Let's see the people around you. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Look at the people around the room. Hand up high. Hi. I want God to see my hand. Here it is. Okay. Now, some bad news for all of you who don't have your hand up. You're in the third group, which means you're about to get it. See, because all of us either are being hammered, just got done being hammered, or we're about to be hammered. Because none of us escape it. And I don't know if you're like me, but I have found that the worst part of it is that it's totally unpredictable. Totally unpredictable. Always at the worst time, never when you're ready for it. You know, they always say troubles come in threes. If you're like me, in my life, I find troubles come in 33s. They're just chained, boom, boom, boom. And it's never something I can predict. I can't say to my assistant, hey, could you save next Tuesday afternoon? The doctor's going to tell me I have cancer. You know what? I need you to erase my appointments on Friday because my daughter's going to show up and tell me she's pregnant about 10 years before I would have liked. Hey, sweetheart, let's clear Monday because I'm going to lose my job. It never works like that. It always seems like it's at the worst possible moment when everything is just aligning in the universe just to hammer me. But you know, it's always been that way. Jeremiah the prophet wrote about this in chapter 4. Listen how he describes this. He says, crash follows hard on crash. Man, is that a picture of hammer blows or what? Crash follows hard on crash. The whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste. The hammer blows of pain and suffering and despair crash upon crash. God, what am I to do? Does God just allow us to get beat up? I mean, what's the point to all this? If I look at the heroes of the Old Testament, I see a few things. First of all, that this has always gone on. I look at Joseph in the Old Testament. Favorite son of daddy, hated by his 11 brothers, sold into slavery by his own blood, his own kin. Falsely imprisoned and accused by Potiphar's wife for sexual misconduct. Faked a sexual assault. He's in prison, unjustified. He asks somebody to help him out. The fellow prisoner stabs him in the back and doesn't remember him. And he's sitting there in a hole in the ground going, God, have you abandoned me? Crash upon crash. Daniel. You know the story, Daniel in the lion's den? Remember what got Daniel in that hole? Was he prayed. He was a victim of a witch hunt, a politically motivated witch hunt to get him out of the way because he was too good. If you've ever been targeted by a group of people unfairly, that's Daniel. And he's in this hole in the ground with all these lions going, oh God, please save me, please save me. Crash upon crash. And look at Job. In the Old Testament, Job has everything. His family dies, whole family, house, everything he owns burns to the ground. And you find Job sitting on a pile of ash that used to be all of his possessions. Using a piece of broken china, a piece of broken plate, to scrape the sores that are breaking out on his body. God, just kill me now. Just kill me. I'm being hammered. Why do you let this happen? It seems like God has consistently allowed his people to be hammered. Do I dare say that sometimes we see he even causes that? How can that be? How can that be? Well, I want to take you back to that Jeremiah passage we read a little bit ago, chapter 23. Look at the scripture. It says, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. Now, in the Hebrew here, that word for word doesn't just mean speech. It means all the actions, everything I say or do, all my actions. As if God were saying, aren't the things that I say and do like a fire, like a hammer that beats upon the rock? And the word rock there is actually the same word you would use for security. Like we would say rock of Gibraltar. So God says, everything I say or do comes like a fire, comes like an intense heat, comes like a hammer against the security, the thing that you base your security on. Fire and heat, that's a forge, that's an anvil, that's a blacksmith. God says, I hammer down, I burn what causes you security. Why would God do that? Two reasons. To mature us and to sharpen us. To mature us and to sharpen us. Peter talks about this. Now, if there's one thing Peter knows, it's hammer blows. Here's a guy who would act and didn't think. One of the followers of Jesus. It's not a coincidence. Jesus put his hand up here and said, it's upon this rock I'm going to build my church, Pete. Because he would just go and do stuff. He knows what it means to be hammered. And Peter says this. Now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though tested by fire, may be found. In other words, these hammer blows, this heat comes at you, Peter says, to test the genuineness of your faith, to find the purity of your faith. Why would God do that? Well, let me give you an example. I have three sons, ages 8, 6, and 2. And this is one of their blankets. It's seen better days. We're trying to wean them off of this, but you know, if you have toddlers, they have a security blanket. And everything is good as long as they have the blanket, isn't it? All the monsters go away and they can just snuggle up, right? And everything feels good. But I need to get this away from him at the appropriate age so he starts to learn to have faith in God, in his mother and I, and not this. You say, yeah, but we all gave that up as kids. Kinda. Maybe your security blanket is, I've got this job, and as long as I have that job, I'll always feel okay. I have a house, a bank account, a spouse, my kids, my friends, my car. What is it that when trouble hits, you revert to as your security blanket? God says, I let trials come. I let tribulations come. I let trouble come to separate you from those things which cannot bear your true faith and to test your faith and improve it so you learn to drop which is not worth depending upon. And learn to put your faith in God and to walk on your two feet like a toddler. Now, it's sometimes hard, isn't it? If you know, if you ever tried to get a blanket away from a toddler, we love those things. But God grows us through the application of heat and hammer to mature us in our faith. But he doesn't just stop there. And maybe the blanket analogy didn't quite connect with you. Maybe because you've been away from that for a while, or maybe hit a little too close to home and Linus is kind of your symbol. See, God doesn't want to just mature us to the point of leaving a blanket because then we'd be toddlers. He also wants to grow us, to sharpen us, to form us into something useful, something even dangerous for his kingdom. Dangerous? Any tool that you have, my guess is dangerous. I have an axe. I use my axe to chop wood. I don't let my boys play with the axe because in order for it to be useful, it must be dangerous. It must be sharp. Scissors, a knife, hedge clippers. What good are dull hedge clippers except an arm workout? I see somebody writing that down. Dull the hedge trimmers. No, you have to have something sharp to be useful. And God wants to form you into something sharp. He wants to form you into something he can use. This is a katana. It is the battle blade of feudal Japan. I've been in martial arts most of my adult life, and this holds a very special significance in Japanese culture. Katana is famous for being so sharp that it would cut through armor, chain, even metal. As a matter of fact, United States Army servicemen returning from the Japanese theater of World War II, would tell stories of Japanese officers trained as samurai that would charge machine gun nests and chop the barrel of the machine gun in half because of the strength of this blade. Now, what makes this weapon unique is the way it's forged. You take a blank, a steel blank, and you put it in intense heat, just a few degrees below the melting point, and you begin to hammer it and fold it over on itself until the entire blade has felt that hammer blow and folded over on itself once, and then you heat it again, and you repeat that process 10,000 times. And the process of repeatedly folding that metal under intense heat and hammering it makes a blade that is super strong. In fact, most samurai's lives would depend almost daily on the strength of the blade of the katana. Not all blades made it, by the way, to become a katana. Some became training blades because when they were submersed in the heat and when they were hammered, they cracked. They didn't submit to the folding. They resisted. When they resisted, the hammer blows caused stress cracks. And those blades were turned into training blades, never for a true weapon. But those pieces of metal that allowed the hammer to fall and allow themselves to be folded over under intense heat over long periods of time become the finest weapon that the Japanese know. As a matter of fact, they believe that this process imbues into this blade the spirit of a warrior by the forging process, a process they call Shaishinroku, which translated to English means spiritual strength. God desires when the heat is on and when the hammer blows of pain fall on your life that you recognize that it's for a purpose, that he is folding you under intense heat, under incredible pressure, to form you into something that's useful. Knowing that he is the master swordsmith and he will never cause more heat than you can tolerate, he will never hammer so much that he hammers the life out of you. But that instead, he wants to form you into something so strong he can use you in any capacity, anywhere, just like a katana. Because his ultimate goal for you is Shaishinroku, spiritual strength. And that's the purpose of God's hammer blows in your life. Now, what does that mean for us? Because it's hard when the hammer's falling, isn't it? It's hard being a piece of metal that is heated to within an inch of melting. Having the hammer fall repeatedly on your life. Not knowing when it's going to stop. What do? Well, we have to trust the master sword maker. That he knows our limits even better than we do. And he's never going to let us be pounded into oblivion. Knowing that when the hammer falls in life and when the heat seems too intense, when I'm in that dark of the night staring at the ceiling wondering, am I going to even survive this? That I know in my heart that I'm in the hands of the greatest sword maker that ever lived. And he has a purpose for this. He has a plan for this. Well, what's the secret? How do I hang on? If you've been where I've been, you know that in the dark of the night, sometimes it seems like nothing is ever going to happen. I have no hope. I have nowhere to turn. What do I do? Here's the biblical secret. Are you ready? Don't give up. Don't give up. Is that it? Yeah. Galatians 6, Paul talks about this. He says this, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." In due season, in God's time. See, when the heat is on and the hammer is falling on our life and it seems like it just keeps getting worse, time drags, doesn't it? I run. I don't run very far. Between mile marker 2.5 and 3, the end of my run, that half a mile takes as long as the whole first 2.5 put together in my brain because my legs hurt, my lungs hurt. The last part of the pain just seems to go forever. When life is hammering you, doesn't it just seem like it's never going to stop? Blow after blow, as Jeremiah said, crash upon crash. But God says, in due season, in his time, we have to trust that he understands the time better than me. To not give up, because it says we will reap a harvest, reap the purpose. God will form in our lives exactly what he is intending to form for our good and his if we don't give up. Friend, if you're here today and the hammer is falling on you, hang in there. If the heat is so intense you think you're just going to burn up and you don't know what to do, don't give up. Don't give up. One of my favorite preachers, T.D. Jakes, says, "The seeds of our dreams are watered with the tears of our suffering." I love that line. You can't overwater, you can't underwater, but we have to understand that the hammer and the heat of our struggle forges in us what God wants to build. If you're in your teens or your 70s, 80s, or more, It doesn't matter. It's all the same thing. God forges you with the trial, tribulation, and trouble of hammer strikes and heat in your life to turn you into what he wants you to be. You know what that means? Here's where the rubber hits the road. It means it doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what your banker says. It doesn't matter what your spouse, your boss, your kids, your neighbor, the judge. It doesn't matter what any of them say. It only matters what God says. Because you're not done until God says you're done. It's not over until God says it's over. But sometimes it's hard to remember that, isn't it? I'm done for. No, you're not. Not until God says you are. Don't give up. Hang in there. Don't quit. Let the heat go. Let the hammer keep falling, knowing that God is controlling the force of the blows, the angle of the blows, the temperature that's around you in your environment. God controls all of that to forge you into something sharp and wonderful and purposeful. You're not over till God says you are. If you're in a moment when you've lost everything, remember that. It's not done till God says it's done. How do we then endure? That all sounds fine, but how do we actually then move through the pain, endure the grief that seems like it will swallow us up? How do we keep hope alive and refuse to give up when, let's face it, thoughts of suicide creep into our mind? When the irrational seems rational because there's just nothing left, what do you hold on to? When there's no hope, no answers, no Savior, no nothing that you can imagine, hang on to God's promises. This book. That sounds a little churchy. Here's what I mean by that. If you're drowning in quicksand and somebody says, I'm going for help, I'll be right back, you can hang on because you know someone's coming. If your house is burning down and somebody said, I've called the fire department, they're on their way, you can hang on because you know that help is on its way. God promises you hundreds and hundreds of things in this book. And if you're not very good at manipulating through this book, of navigating it really well, do this. Go online, Amazon, or Google it, or go to a bookstore, whatever you do, and look for something called God's Promise Book. It's not a title. There's several of them that are like this. They're generally about $4. And they list out all the promises of God found in Scripture. If you can't get through this book to find what they are, get that and start reading them. 34 years old. And I have been, just like you, through all kinds of stuff and all kinds of circumstances, wondering, will I survive? But I can promise you this, God has never, ever broken a promise in my life. You say, well, I've read that somewhere. I don't know if it's true. I can tell you just from me. I can't tell you your story or their story. I can tell you mine. God has never broken a promise. So get this, grab it, read it, recite those promises, write those promises, sing those promises, whatever you have to do to instill hope in you. Don't give up. Hang on to the promise that God says he's still for you. He hasn't forgotten you. Are those really going to help me? Here's one that sustained me through some of my darkest nights. It's a promise found in Isaiah chapter 43. It says this, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, Chris. Yours might not say Chris. Because you're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they won't overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned, and the flame shall not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. And he repeats it to make sure we heard it. Fear not, for I am with you. I have to hear that fear not so often. I have a bracelet that says fear not on it, a tattoo on my shoulder that says fear not on it, a medallion that hangs around my neck with a shield on the back that says this verse, fear not, for I am with you. Hang on to that promise. In the middle of the night when everything irrational seems rational and you have no idea where you're going to turn, I've ransomed you, God says. I gave other people for you. I paid that price for you. Hang on to that promise. Read those promises and thank God for them. Remind yourself that God knows your limits even more than you do. That God knows your situation even more than you do. and he's still in control. We forget that. We think God's forgotten me or he's not in control. He controls most things, but you know, this banker is so powerful, he's outside the scope of God. No, he's not. Well, the mortgage company, God can't certainly know what's happening at the mortgage company. Yes, he does. Well, the sickness is spreading through my body. How can the God of the universe? He knows. He has the cells counted. The heat is intense. The hammer blows are hard. But God says, you will survive. And understand something. No matter the heat and the hammer blows, the weight of the hammer, the fire of the heat, pale in comparison to what God has for you in your future. It's another promise. This will all seem like nothing when the future comes. I'm not saying it's all going to be Pollyanna wonderful. There's always going to be suffering, but God says he has a purpose and a future for you, this life and the next, that will make all of these hammer blows and make all of this heat seem like nothing. God's glorious plan for you that he has single-mindedly prepared just for you is nothing. Makes this heat and these hammer blows right now of pain and grief seem insignificant. If your soul is being hammered, if your body is being hammered today, hang on. God's not done with you yet. If your family is in the fire, God knows just how hot you can take it, and he won't scorch you. Don't give up on your family. If the whole world seems lost and there's nothing more to do, the master sword maker is still in charge, and he says, I'm interested in making you Shaishin Roku, a person of spiritual strength. Don't give up. Endure. Well, it's just me. It's never happened to anybody. Hey, every business, every person, every organization, every church goes through this time of forging. It's what makes great people great. It's what makes godly people godly. Just hang on. Don't give up. I want to leave you with a parting question. How would your life change if you began to see the hammer blows of pain and suffering in your life as coming from the sword maker instead of random chance? How would you be able to see the heat of your current situation in light of becoming katana? What would it do to your children, your family, your spouse? What would your neighborhood look like? How would this community of the Orchard change if we decided to intentionally allow the hammer blows to form us into katana people? What would the Aurora area look like if God was able to turn us into spiritual samurais that say, I will survive. This heat, these hammer blows will not kill me because I know God's hand is behind them to turn me into something useful, to make me a katana follower of Jesus. You wouldn't just survive, friend. You'd thrive. Imagine what that looks like. Pray with me if you would. Father God, I thank you that we can follow Jesus, a leader who took the hammer blows for us, the intense heat of the cross, who endured everything life had to throw at him so that we could cooperate with your shaping, with your forging of our lives to come into your image. Father, help me to cooperate with the shaping process that you want to do in me. Help me not to rebel against the heat, to resist the hammer, to crack and to go under, but help me to fold to your hand, to be formed into katana, an awesome weapon for you. I desire to become your spiritual strength, a forged follower of Jesus. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.